Have you ever seen a tiny person in the bushes? What does bite no bite and drink no drop mean? Who is responsible for that one sock always going missing from the dryer? Today we test the believability of fairies.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That's right. Thank you for joining us on this listener voted in topic.
That is true. Voted in by patrons because of a quiz outcome that was also on Patreon.
Yes. And just so everyone's clear, any level of patron can vote on this.
That is true.
So all of our patrons have control at some point on some of our episodes.
Yes.
Not to promote our Patreon up front like I just did.
Technically, my episode next week was also voted on.
Oh, ironically. Was it really?
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get to the topic at hand. Let's just jump into this. Fairies. The wee people. The little people.
Hiding in bushes, apparently.
You'll see. You will see. So we're going to talk about the classic fairy. Not Irish fae creatures, which can be confusing because like leprechauns are technically fairies in Irish lore. Banshees are technically fairies. We're going to talk about more like the classic Tinkerbell.
The classic Tinkerbell. Yes. I had to do a poem one time about fairies and it lived under mushrooms or on mushrooms or something. It was for school. I didn't write the poem.
Oh, okay. Were you in like fourth grade or?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Third, fourth, it was on a projector. It dried my contacts out with the air. Have you ever sat behind a projector with contacts in?
No.
It's not good. It's just like, in your eyes. You're like crying by the end of class.
Like, I didn't know you felt that way about fairies, Tyler.
But yeah, you'd have like cutouts. Like, I remember cutting out like a mushroom and you'd like, I don't remember the poem though. Nothing about bushes.
Tyler is a skeptic. He doesn't believe in fairies. Wouldn't you say that's romantic?
What rhymes with fairies, Charlie? Berries?
He always enjoys his dairies.
His dairies.
It was a slant rhyme.
Dairies doesn't like me. skeptic, though. That's kind of you.
Yeah, it is. So, the fairy word, the word itself, fairy, has roots in Latin. And it means fate. It doesn't directly mean fate. Like, the root of it means fate.
Does it tie in any way to the way we use fairy to, like a ferryman, like somebody who transports you from one area to the other? Or, like, you know, if you need to get to an island or something, you get on a ferry.
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe. I didn't see it, if it does. That's an interesting question.
I guess so. Just because a word is phonetically the same doesn't mean it's tied to it.
Right. So the word tying to fairy is it's fitting because they're mischievous entities. They do good and they also do bad things.
First they're salty. No, first they're sour. Then they're sweet.
Sour Patch Kids.
They're never bitter.
So from the 1300s, those that study the unknown would break the categories of fairies down into elemental forces. So there were water fairies, earth fairies, fire fairies, and wind fairies.
It's like airbender.
Elemental fairies, yes. And they would be known to live in those elements, basically. Now, there's a bit of a time jump, and this came about in like the 1800s. But British people believed that fairies lived underground in the deep earth in the forest. So they feared them because they thought that they would do them some kind of harm for, like, stumbling upon them. And people were so wary of fairies that they would actually, like, build parts of their house to avoid paths they thought fairies would go onto.
What I'm picturing in my head to somehow relate to this is, like, those underground bees. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I've been stung by one before. Like, when I was really young, I had, like, a little Tonka car thing. And I went over, I must have been a nest, and one came up and got me right in the forehead.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I think that's actually really close.
Or it was a fairy, right?
It might have been a fairy.
It just punched me right in the forehead.
Yeah, or it bit
you. That's my house, mother.
So eventually religion actually mixed into fairy mythology, and it became folklore, part of the folklore, that fairies were actually fallen angels, like Lucifer.
I've never heard that, actually.
And they were cast from heaven because they were evil, mischievous things. Yeah, it's an interesting little tidbit I found.
Is there a particular religion that believed that?
Catholic. Because they also didn't trust anything that was the British Isles before. Like, all that kind of, like, mythology of Irish mythology. They all thought that was, like, evil Satan stuff.
Oh, so the British didn't trust the Irish.
Oh, I found this arbitrary fact. I don't know how true it is. That they said that fairies can live between 1,000 and 1,500 years. There were no reasons given to believe this.
They just do. It's the centennial census. They just every 100 years they just check the census, and then that's how they know how many fairies are still alive. What if fairies live to 1500 years old, but they aged like us? So by like 75 they have like back pain and they're like old, but then they still have like 1400 years of life left.
They would look like the SpongeBob mom. Yeah. In the wheelchair.
Yes. No, or the chocolate.
Yeah, the chocolate lady.
Sweet chocolate. Yeah. I always hated it. Did we just talk about that in dogs? Was that off the air?
In dogs?
Either you and me or me, yes, and someone else had a conversation about dogs. And it's like, what if dogs could live as long as humans, but they had dog, like they still age in dog years. So like 12 was old.
Yeah, we did talk about, I don't remember.
I don't know if it was on air or not, but that's how I feel about fairies. Like they're like, they're like 900 years old. They're like, just pull the plug. Just do it. I haven't been able to fly for 600 years.
That would be so sad. Some fairies have wings, some fairies don't, by the way, just so you know.
I felt really bad for the fairy in from that movie with like the guy that goes like this.
Oh, Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah, the fairy that gets eaten. She was like, don't eat those grapes.
Don't think I've ever seen Pan's Labyrinth all the way.
All the way.
I've seen parts of it.
That's, I think, one of the most memorable parts, the feast scene with that guy.
I don't think I've seen that part.
Well,
I've just seen the guy with the hands going, hello, see you.
That's the guy I'm talking about. It's his scene.
He eats a fairy.
Two of them, I think.
Dang. Anyway, so I found this on Rinker. There are multiple types of fae spirits or fairies, and a lot of them are interesting, but these are ones that interested me the most, and I got a whole list.
Listen, if you have an article, you better put high quality content on it. Otherwise, Charlie is not going to accept it. He's going to parse through your content to find the stuff that he wants.
I mean,
I got you, bro. I'm letting people know. I'm putting them not on blast. I'm putting it out there. I'm letting people know. I'm giving them awareness.
I'm just saying,
check your content.
There were more than what I pulled from this article. So the first type of fairy are the Utbird, and they are fairies that are believed to be revived spirits of babies who pass during harsh winters, and they tend to haunt people who are about to die, and they are known to be large and terrifying owls at night, so people see them as owls.
That's a good follow-up after our last episode of La Lechuza.
Yeah. That's right. Actually, maybe it was a fairy. I doubt it, but what if?
It's interesting that it's only winter. Like, if a baby died during spring, you know, you're good. But winter, it's fairy time.
I think because it's a harsh season, especially in olden times.
Yeah, they didn't have the global warming back then.
The next kind are the Bean Fiant, and they're fairies known as drowning fairies, and they are kind of like kelpies. They would lurk in water, and they would pull children down if they see them near the water. And funnily enough, like kelpies, they're probably come from parents.
Yes, I always, kids. It feels like there's always that like folklore just to make your kids do something. So this one is like, don't play around water, right?
Yeah.
Other one is probably like, don't forget to wear your gloves. Otherwise, you're going to freeze to death and die.
Or the Yule Cat will get you.
Or the Yule Cat will get you.
Yeah. So the next kind of fairy is a red cap. And they talk about red caps in Harry Potter really briefly. But they're basically like little creatures that haunt battlefields. And they go around in dead bodies. And they feast on the blood and the carnage of battlefields. And if you see them, they will tear your heart out.
No cap?
With claws. No cap. Red caps.
That sounds vicious.
They're intense.
That's I think that's a step or two beyond mischievous.
just a smidge.
They're like, just kidding. And they try putting your heart back in. Oh, man.
Oh. Vicaris gather outside homes of dying people, and they happily chant to each other. They're about 18 inches tall, and they celebrate people dying, and they have vivid red bloodstained teeth. And the only way to appease them is to
die.
No, offering a burning shrine of flowers and spices.
I wonder what kind of spice. Okay, Charlie, you have to appease them. what spices are you going to grab from your cabinet?
I like a good Italian seasoning.
Yeah.
And basil.
What about like that, like onion ranch, not onion ranch, like onion powder. Sometimes it's mixed with other stuff.
Garlic powder?
Yeah, they have, I like celery garlic powder salt. Too. Celery salt's good.
Fennel seed.
I used to use rotisserie chicken seasoning a lot.
That's a good one. I don't know if they would take any of those. Probably the stuff like myrrh and lavender, that kind of stuff.
Listen, that's how they feel now. If we introduce them to our seasonings, they're going to be fat. their wings are no longer going to work, all right?
The second to last kind I have are the Bendith, and they are a type of Welsh fairy. So you know where Wales is?
It's like the UK-ish.
Yeah, it's on the bottom of the UK to the west. And they are notorious for taking babies. So they take babies from you, and they teach about music.
They take the babies, teach them about music, and then they work for BuzzFeed, and they write listicles.
Yes. They replace your child with their own child called a crimbill. And the only way to get your child back is with the assistance of a witch.
I actually, now that you say this, I actually watched a scary movie about this. I don't know if it was on Netflix, if it was on Amazon Prime. It was actually a pretty good movie because it was kind of like The Second Ring. Did you ever see The Second Ring?
No.
It was like that, like you have like a mom, right? And she starts realizing that her kid is unusual.
Oh, okay.
Like she starts finding mud and twigs and she's very like in her bed and she's very aggressive and she doesn't act like herself. And then you find out that her real child had got taken and was replaced by this creature.
Oh.
So I don't think it's, I think it was probably
like a changeling.
The idea was borrowed from this because there she was like hidden in like this cave and she had to go. I don't remember what she had to do. Somehow she had to get her kid back. But it's like almost like the Body Snatchers type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you replace somebody with someone else and it's just eerie and stuff. That's what this makes me think of.
Was it really scary?
It was scary. It wasn't like the most scary thing I've ever seen, but it was a horror movie.
I would watch something like that for sure. That sounds neat.
It was good. It was when I was like watching three a day, and so I'll never remember the name of it, but I did like it.
You're going to appreciate this last fairy because they are the logo for, say it.
I don't know.
You don't know? The Browns.
Oh, Elfie.
The Brownie.
Brownie. Yeah.
Brownies.
Yeah, Brownies.
Is his name Elfie?
I don't know what his name is, dude. I'm not going to lie. I hate that logo. You'll never.
I like that logo a lot.
You'll never catch me wearing a Cleveland Browns article of clothing that has Brownie the Elf on it.
That's one of my favorites, actually, of the Browns logos.
No.
But he is a Brownie. And Brownies are a type of fairy that are really nice. They hang out in your house and they do chores. They help you with the house cleaning and stuff like that.
No, you win. No, you win. No. You would take the ball back. You take it. You score. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Kick six. You want me to try and kick it for the win, but then you're going to block it and run it back at the final second on Thursday Night Football against the Baltimore Ravens? Ah, it's fine.
But the problem is with Brownies is that they are disgusting to look at.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they have features that are not conducive to a typical good-looking human.
Brown pants and orange shirts.
No, like all their toes are one big toe.
Oh.
Or they have holes in their nose. Or their nose is a
nostrils,
hole.
I think you meant to say.
No. I mean, you know, the whole nose is just a hole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like skeleton nose.
Yeah. But they're really scary to see. But those are a list of really interesting fairies. Different kinds of fairies from different places. So let's move on to fairy and food myths. So fairy food myths. Have you ever heard of this kind of idea before?
Fairy food myths.
Fairy food myths.
You know what? I'm surprised just now. It's because I thought of omelets. That I didn't think about this until this very moment. Fairy world in Neopets. Did you ever own Neopets?
Oh my gosh, a while ago.
All of our Neopets right now are
dead.
Starving. They don't die.
Oh yeah.
They don't get that piece. They are starving. I learned I learned what the word famished means because of this. They're worse than babies, man. You feed them 2 hours later. I remember I was like 9 years old. I'm like, I have a big ass responsibility. Like this is VH1, MTV playing Blink-182 Girl at the Rock Show. I think it's just called The Rock Show. Music videos. Like that's how old I'm talking about here. But I had like four Neopets. They had pets. One of them was a pet rock. But there's a fairy world, which had like little shrimps and it was cool stuff. But there was an omelet world where you got to like, there's people out there that have played Neopets and they know what I'm talking about.
Omelets. It's been a long, long time. The games were fun, though.
I never made mine battle, just saying that.
Oh, I probably did.
I'm sure you did.
So the idea behind fairy food is that if a human, usually a kid, falls into the fairy world, like the fairy dimension, they are doomed if they eat the food the fairies offer them.
Oh, this is exactly Pan's Labyrinth, because she ate the food. She had a grape.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And the fairies were like, don't do it. He's going to wake up. He's going to kill you. And they were trying to ward him off when she was getting away, and then they got eaten.
Well, if you eat fairy food, you are trapped in their world.
Spoiler alert. On my part, not yours. How tempting would the food have to be? Listen, I would not doom myself over a grape. Maybe that makes me privileged, but I wouldn't doom myself over a grape.
Well, I don't think you know that when you go in.
Still not that worried.
Unless you're privy to the knowledge.
Still not that worried.
But if a fairy offers you food in our world, so you're in our world, you haven't fallen to their dimension, they take their hospitality way too personally, because if you say, I don't want your food here, they still find a way to kill you.
Oh.
Whether it be through violence, like a red cap, or through magic. And in one account, a Scotch plowman felt really thirsty, and he heard a butter churn, and he was hoping for a drink. Like buttermilk? Just I don't know who wants a glass drink of melted buttermilk. Butter.
Just take the stick of butter and put it in the microwave, and I'm about to Paula Deen the shit.
With some vinegar?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And some rotisserie chicken seasoning.
A woman in green appeared and offered him some of this fresh buttermilk, and he refused because her clothing made him suspect that she was supernatural. And she told him that after a year had passed, he'd not been needing a drink at all. And sure enough, within 12 months, he was dead because he said no.
Do you think it was the clothing or the fact that she had wings and was flying?
Either. It's a toss-up. Could be either one.
What if you took this to heart so much that you literally could never deny someone food out of fear? Like, anytime anybody offered you something in this world.
It's pretty paranoid, to be honest.
So what if this? You're in the woods, you find the mysterious staircases, right?
Oh,
you climb them, and you see all these creepy monsters coming. And someone's like, here, I can make them go away. You just have to eat this apple.
Oh, gosh.
So you eat the apple, because you think it'll actually save you. But you tripped into, by climbing the staircase, you ended up in the fairy dimension, and then now you're doomed because you ate the apple, which they tricked you into thinking would save you. And it's a freaking Granny Smith, so you know it's not good. No, it's a Red Delicious. Ugh.
Ugh, bitter. Bitter, yeah, bitter, bitter.
So you just doomed yourself over a trash apple.
Well, that's an interesting thought. I really like the idea that stairs might be connected to fairy world. Maybe that's so.
Newsflash. No one likes being lied to.
Newsflash. That includes bending the truth to meet an agenda.
Newsflash. Wait, is believing the bizarre going political?
Fake news. But we are talking about donuts. And right now, our favorite donut is a news brand that, quite frankly, thinks news sucks.
Listen, aren't you tired of being fed information that leans one way or the other? Regardless of where you stand, wouldn't a daily, unbiased newsletter be nice?
If so, get ready to pour some sugar on yourself, because it's donut time.
What if I told you the donut has turned consuming news from an anxiety-ridden chore to a guilty pleasure?
I rate it believable. They make news quick, engaging, and easy to understand. Also, did we mention it's 100% free?
Sure, we like talking about potentially insidious conspiracies time and again, but even we need a break, and that's why we enjoy the Donut's news stories.
They keep us updated in this crazy world and help us feel smarter, happier, and surprisingly more hopeful.
And unlike pretty much everything else in this world, signing up is completely free.
Yeah, I said that.
So, subscribe today at thedonut.co/bizarre.
Again, that is thedonut.co/bizarre.
Better and faster news awaits you. Subscribe to The Donut today. When you walk into a house or an apartment, what is the absolute first thing you look for?
What kind of art is hanging on the walls? Duh.
Exactly. Okay, maybe not. But aesthetic is important.
So if you want to flex awesome and unique designs in your home, you need to check out Fox Off Art.
Fox Off Art is telling basic designs to fox off, or one might say, go fox yourself.
I love their Pokemon artwork, like the Mew or the full Gengar evolution line, and a lot more. And they have classic cartoons like Cow and Chicken, and Grimm from Billy and Mandy, and literally one of my favorite characters of all time, the goat, Bender.
Plus, they just dropped a Mothman and a Jersey Devil design, which is right up our alley, and I know you're going to love it. It's great for hallways, bedrooms, bathrooms, nurseries, just about anywhere with a wall.
What if I told you that you only had to pay 85% full price?
What are you talking about?
I'm saying that when you go to Fox Off Art's Etsy page and use the promo code BIZARRE, you get 15% off.
So start decorating your walls with Fox Off Art's awesome designs. And again, use the promo code BIZARRE for 15% off.
Fox yeah! So let's move on to modern day myths. So if you've misplaced something and it doesn't make any sense, maybe it's a fae spirit. Okay, so how do you fix the thing? How do you get the thing back? You can apologize by leaving little offerings like fruit or milk or water. And they really like natural honey or pears or marshmallows and even sweetened butter.
You leave out artificial honey, they're like, this shit. Real honey, right. Or you're not getting your GoPro back.
They're kind of vegan, crunchy. They also like trinkets, like shiny things like quarters or
fidget thimbles.
Fidget spinners, maybe like a metal one, or thimbles. But those things cannot be made of silver or iron.
Okay, that's kind of like the leprechaun thing.
Yeah, or ghosts. They also like small things like marbles, little jewels.
Would you recommend people buying these things in advance just in case?
No, but I'll get to that. Even singing can be something that attracts them. So maybe that's why I've had little problems with things going missing in the past. Because my wife constantly sings in the shower. I'm serious. Like, I recently found an earbud that had been missing for like 2 months. In a place that I knew I checked.
An AirPod bud?
Yeah, I knew I checked there.
Does Steph just sing like that Hocus Pocus song in the shower? Like that trance song?
She sings lots of things, but I think that's part of her routine, yes.
I feel like maybe fairies are less prevalent because people have more stuff now. Like, I feel like some people have so much stuff that a fairy could try for years to get people to notice them, and they're just like, oh, it's gone. Like, oh, I have another one.
I can buy another one off Amazon. They'll be here tomorrow.
Amazon is the death of the fairy.
That's an interesting idea. You might be right. Abundance might be killing fairies. The point is, if you lose it, is it worth feeding them to get that back?
You have to weigh the pros and the cons there.
Yeah.
You have to get one of those little weigh things, right? Like a scale. And then you got to have red chips, which means feed it, and black chips, which means I can lose that object and be fine. And then you got to start.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if they aren't that bad, they're just kind of mischievous. Why not just give them what they want? Here's why. It's like a comparison. You, Tyler, you went to the store. You bought a pet chimpanzee. It's good. It's baby. It's cute for a while. It loves you. You love it. You live in sync for a while. But it tears your fucking face off eventually.
Yeah. That's exactly why I wouldn't buy a chimpanzee. Yeah,
I know. It's a comparison. It's the same idea with cohabitating with the fae. It's a nice relationship for a while. But if you mess it up because you forgot to put out milk one night, they'll tear apart your life.
It's a toxic relationship.
It can turn real bad real quick. They get real vindictive.
And I don't know what the benefit would be for you.
It can lead to good things for you. It can lead to, like, better luck. It can lead to you finding things more often. You know, stuff around me. Like, ooh, I found 20.
All of them except for the brownie elf, right?
Yeah, they're just gross.
Yeah.
No, they just wash your dishes, but my wife does that every night anyway. So, you remember the Kelpies episode where you found a list of, like, things to do?
How to catch a Kelpie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
This is from Venus from Reddit, and it's how to survive the fae.
Oh, it's not how to catch a fae, how to survive the fae.
The first one is to don't eat anything, ever. You're going to just stop eating.
That's what I'm trying to do, man. How else am I going to get to 8%?
So don't eat anything you brought with you. For all you know, they may have exchanged your food for some of their own.
Brought with you...
I think outside. It didn't say where you were going.
So, but this isn't to catch a Kelpie.
It's not to catch them. So you're going like a hike. I don't know why you wouldn't eat anything. They said don't eat food.
Okay. All right. You're off to a great start.
Never ever say your name. If they ask for your name, give them a nickname. Better yet, if you know their name, say theirs. Because names have power. Don't stand inside a fairy ring. Time is different there. Seconds may pass, and for you, a whole century passes outside. Not to mention, they're portals to other worlds. They will take you, and they won't give you back.
What is a fairy ring?
Do you not know what a fairy ring is?
Were you assuming our entire audience knew what a fairy ring was?
I did. It's a good question to ask, because I did. It is actually a ring about 6 to 8 feet of mushrooms.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And they just occur naturally. Number four, never accept a gift. If you accept, you owe them. And don't say thank you. Don't take the gift. Politely decline.
So be an asshole. Don't eat food.
Well, that's number five. Be kind.
Oh, okay.
The Fae don't take kindly to those who are rude. So be nice about it.
Four and five contradict a little bit.
You can not take a gift kindly.
Without saying thank you?
Yeah. Say, no, I'm okay. I don't need that.
It's trash.
Well, see, that's the bad part.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't last long. I can't get past not eating. Not eating has been very difficult.
Number six, do not make a deal with the Fae. Number seven, remember that all magic has a price. Number eight, don't give them blood unless you actually want to be a slave. That's a quote.
Wow. They're like, can I borrow your Band-Aid really quick? I'll give it right back.
Just takes it and licks it off.
By the way, do you want this apple?
Number nine, remember, Fae can't stand iron. So a lot of people say wear like iron coins or something.
Do you have anything iron?
I don't. I would love something iron. That'd be really cool. Number 10, do not trust them ever, but don't be rude. Number 11, don't lie to the Fae. They will punish you.
Well, doesn't that go against the don't use your name?
You can use a nickname. Like, I could say my name's Charlie. Not technically my name.
Okay. That's going between the lines a little bit. When they try and you know, like, take you or whatever, you're like, well, I brought my birth certificate. And technically... They're like, damn it.
Number 12, don't invite them. Don't invite them into your home. Don't summon them. Don't invite them into your mind. So we shouldn't even be talking about them. Episode's over. Goodbye. 13, don't fall in love. They will enchant you, but they don't feel the same way. Trust me. That's what it says.
Listen, this person this fell in love hard. With a stick. This is like, I feel like they like a fairy would come up to me. The game plan of how to get me, and they'd be like, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And I'd be like, it'd be like a young boy trying to talk to a girl. I would not know what to say. I'd be looking at my cue cards. Don't say this, but be nice, but don't be too nice. Don't say thank you, but be kind. Don't lie, but don't give them your name. I just walk away.
I've only got
is that rude if you would just walk away?
No, yeah, I think so. Number 14, this is for the kids out there. Never dance with the Fae. Number 15, if you make a deal, if you broke that one rule, if you do make a deal, be careful. Fae are tricksy.
Adults dance too.
Dude, I wouldn't dance in the woods randomly with like a little creek, whatever. Number 16, you never want to owe the Fae ever. Don't owe them anything.
They're like the mob.
And number 17, last one, balances everything. A life for a life. Don't mess with the Fae.
Literally, it sounds like an allegory for the mob.
I can see that too, yeah. But with that, let's move on to personal encounters.
I made a monopoly, couldn't refuse.
So I gathered a couple stories from Garth Harlan from Livestream, who collected more than these stories, but they're all really good. But these are two of my favorites.
This is a live streamer?
No, the website is called Livestream.
Oh, I got you.
So it goes, this first story goes like this. It was a strange morning, to say the least. One day in May, in 1913, young brothers, Sylvie and Sid and Clyde Latham, were chopping cotton on their family's farm near Farmville,
They're playing Texas. They're on Facebook.
When their dogs started to bark frantically at something. The boys went to investigate and found the two dogs barking at a very small man. On about 45 centimeters. He was green all over and looked like he was wearing a green sombrero. His arms hung at his side as if they were attached there, and it appeared that he was wearing some kind of ruby suit that covered his entire body. That was about all the boys saw of the little man before the two dogs attacked and tore him into pieces, spraying red blood and human-like organs all around. The boys then retreated to their work, unsure of what to think, but a bit horrified. The dogs followed and stayed near the boys for the rest of the day. The boys checked a couple of times to be sure that the body actually existed, which it did. But when they told their parents, they didn't believe them. And the next day, all the evidence of the little man's existence was gone.
One, those dogs ate that man. Two, could you imagine the family scene? Like, what the? Three, imagine at dinner. Oh, what did you guys do today? Boys? They're like, yeah, we saw Fido ate this little man. And his organs sprayed blood all over me, so I need a new shirt. And pass the buttermilk.
Isn't that crazy? It's a crazy little story.
It seems like the fairy was the victim in that story.
It was. He didn't survive. They didn't give him his name.
Nope, the dogs are like, we got this. They like crack their knuckles first, pause, and they're like, we got this. The fairy's like, I would like to offer you. Oh my God!
This is from the same article. It was a summer evening in 2005 when a man identifying only as JF claimed that he and his girlfriend were part of a group visiting a friend's house in Pennsylvania. The house was a thickly wooded area, and they had watched the sunset from the back of the house. They continued to chat and hang out as the night grew darker and cooler. The deck was lit by a single spotlight. They had heard a noise in the potted plants near the spotlight, and everyone turned to look as something shot from the air of the pots. The creature was about 30 centimeters, or 12 inches tall. It appeared to have a human head with long pointy ears and something wrapped about its body. It paused for a moment in midair just between the spotlight and the people. Then it opened its wings, unwrapping from around the apparently female being's body. The wings were bat-like, and they appeared to be a membrane stretching from her fingers to her toes, and they could even see the veins where the spotlight shined through. The wings resembled that of a butterfly. The whole little being seemed to be lightly glowing with greenish light. After hanging in the space for a moment, the little being began to flutter across the deck like a butterfly over the heads of the group into the dark woods.
And that was the first time anyone ever saw a moth. I like the description of that, though. Like, they really are very descriptive in terms of seeing the wings, the veins. The fact that it was, like, from the fingers to the toes connected. Good imagery.
It was good imagery. Two more stories. They're not super long. So this is from Colleen, and she claims to be a fairy seer. This is how she became a fairy seer. So this is from her perspective. When Colleen was on a walk in November, she had a close encounter with fairy kind. At that time, they were living in Florida, and she still remembered the day as if it was carved into her memory. As she walked along the roadside, she heard a little sound that caught her attention. At first, she thought it was possibly an injured bird rustling in the underbrush. And then she peered into the foliage, into the trees, and she drew back a surprise. At first, she thought it was a ruby-throated hummingbird with really bright green feathers. However, looking closer, it was not so. Instead, what she saw was a tiny green swamp fairy fluttering on its delicate wings that looked like transparent leaves. She had hair the color and consistency of corn silk. Bottle green leaves adorned her small body, so she was wearing leaves as clothes, and she smelled a lot like lavender and sandalwood. The little winged creature stared at her, with her eyes as green as the leaves she was hiding in, and she felt at that moment something awaken inside of her. An overwhelming feeling of peace and love surrounded her, and within its grasp, in an instant, she was gone. And that's how Colleen met a fairy.
And that's where the intro question.
Yes. I want to edit something creepy. This is from Reddit.
As most of our creepy stories are.
Yeah. Growing up, whenever my brother would get hurt, I'd blame it on my fairy friends. My parents never believed me, and I'd get punished. It didn't help that my brother said I was the one that pushed him, or punched him, or scratched him. No matter how much I protested, at the end of it all, I was the one who got in trouble. So, at a young age, I learned I was the only one who could see the fairies. For some time, it was a mixed blessing. Having friends only I could see meant there wasn't anyone who could tell them to leave me alone or that they had to go home because I needed to go to bed. It was nice to never feel lonely. The issue, unfortunately, was that the fairies were mischievous. They would just laugh and flit about as they continued their fun. Most of the time, it was harmless. A bit obnoxious, but harmless. They'd flutter their little wings under someone's nose and make them sneeze, or they'd knock someone's elbow against a glass and spill a drink all over the table. That kind of thing. On this occasion, however, their activities were more serious, especially when it came to my older brother. The fairies didn't like how Todd would talk to me. I didn't think much of it. I was a younger sister, and he was my bratty teenage brother. I just thought that's how the world worked. The fairies begged to differ, and they wanted to make him know. That's why they'd scratch him and hit him. It went on for years, as his treatment of me got worse. And on a Sunday morning, when I was in bed, being lazy and just listening to the rain fall outside, I heard a muffled scream from Todd's room on the other side of the wall. The scream was followed by a retching and gagging as Todd shrieked past me. My parents noticed the commotion and came to his aid. Mom's shout was loud enough to cut through the sound of Todd's puking, and Dad swore. That scared me. He never did that. I stood at the doorway while the fairies giggled and floated in iridescent orbit around my head. I knew whatever they'd done to my brother had to be worse than the things they'd done in the past. My father stormed into the bathroom and entered Todd's room. He came back a second later with a fistful of something. He stood in front of me, eyes glazed with rage and disgust. "What the hell is wrong with you?" he hissed, and opened his hand. I shrieked with surprise and disgust when I saw what he held. It was a body of a small sparrow. It was cut up and bleeding. Dislodged feathers stuck to the blood and greasy white discharge oozed from its truncated rear half. Do you have any idea how sick your brother can get from that? Dad asked. Behind his rage, a tone of deep concern and even fear. His fear only amplified my own. I wanted to share that because I wanted to show how scary fairies can actually be, because they have this intent. If they like you, they want to help you. But just because they want to help you doesn't mean they have good intentions for others.
Coming from that very graphic story, let's move into the discussion. So now I just want to stop the show, and I want to thank all the people that are with us in Patreon and those new people who have joined. So the first person I have is Bailey, and then Jay. This one's different. It's a band, and they signed up as their band's name. Protee is the band. I looked them up. It's a real band.
They have a, hold on, I'll pull it up. Okay. I want to give them a shout out because it's two people, right?
Yeah, it's three.
Three.
Yeah.
I don't know if all three made the cut. We will see. Hold up. Josh and Kelly.
Okay. All right. Maybe the third guy.
The address I have is Kelly, and her address is, I'm just kidding, Kelly. I'm not going to do you like
put that. Put all that out there.
But speaking of Bailey, you know when we just saw Bailey? During our Netflix watch party, which just happened, which we do every single month when we watch horror movies, and we just watched very ironically and conveniently Annabelle Creation.
Yeah. Well, I was going to give my small reaction, but I'm not going to do that because if you're in the Patreon, you're probably going to be able to hear it because we're going to post that up pretty soon.
Yeah, not even the small reaction. You'll get the large reaction.
Yeah, the whole reaction of my which fear.
I'm actually curious what it's going to be because he was on his phone afraid to look at the screen most of the time. And that's not a knock on Charlie. That's a testament to Annabelle Creation.
I was frightened. Frightened is a good word. I mean, we all know we don't do well with horror movies, but I was scared.
I'll be honest, I've seen it before, so I knew it was good and creepy compared to the other Annabelle movie. But this isn't an Annabelle Creation plug. This is about Patreon.
Yes, our Patreon, where if you want to support the show, that's where you do it. And if you do, we appreciate it. But you know what? If you don't, we also appreciate you.
Yeah, but if you don't, then you don't get to hear our reaction to Annabelle Creation. I'm just throwing that out there again. If we haven't made that clear.
But anyway, let's move on to the actual discussion. So Tyler, I'm just going to address the elephant. We're in different rooms from when we started. You're probably going to be able to hear it in the audio.
Yeah, for those of you that are keeping up with the Cleveland NBA All-Star event, you know that Cleveland got hit by a snowstorm.
Yes.
An icy snowstorm. Like, my car this morning was a complete block of ice.
Yeah, and my drive into work, which shouldn't have happened, that was a nightmare-inducing event.
I literally turned my car on and let it sit for 18 minutes in my driveway with the heat on blast. And I walked outside and I was like, oh yeah, it's probably warm in my car. And it was. And I tried to use my wipers. Still frozen.
Yeah, so that's why we are in a different room, because after the movie last night, I had to leave because it was getting really dangerous outside.
Right, so what we're trying to say is I don't remember any of the shit we talked about. I don't even know what the topic of this episode is. Oh. Is it Annabelle Creation? Or is it Annabelle Part 2?
Oh, you already know. It's fairies, Tyler.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The fae. I mean, we folks.
We could talk about Annabelle, though, right? I'm just kidding.
Let's talk about the fairies. How do you feel? I know, coming into this, you weren't a strong believer of the fae, of the wee folks, of the small people, as some would say.
Some might say I'm the small people.
We both are. Has anything we talked about maybe turned your mind? Let's talk about the food thing, because that's one of my favorite myths about fairies.
You don't want to take food from them.
Bite no bite, drink no drop. Yeah.
I have bad discipline when it comes to food, so this is not a good one for me.
I know we didn't touch very much on it, but there was that one story about the Scottish guy who refused to take a drink from a fairy princess or whatever hell it was, and he died a year later because he couldn't drink anything.
Yeah, I'd believe that if it wasn't that he died a year later because he couldn't drink anything hard. Water, pretty vital.
So if he died like 3 days later, would that be a different story?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
He, like, a year later makes it seem like it's not possible,
because...
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things we talk about on the podcast, and some of them which I say believable that seem like they're not possible. But you know what I mean? It'd be like, how come this man isn't drinking? He needs to drink. He knows he needs to drink. Like, what is stopping him from drinking? And then 3 days later, he dies from dehydration. And it'd be like, you know, like, what happened? Then it seems way more suspicious and immediate, where I don't think a human can go a full year without, unless he's only eating watermelon. Like, that was his
I don't know escape. If watermelons grow naturally in Scotland.
You couldn't import Amazon?
No. The idea is that it's magic keeping him afloat.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If someone came up to you and offered you food and you were suspicious that they were a fairy, so that's setting the stage, right?
Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, sure.
What food could they possibly offer you that even if you were suspicious that it was a fairy, you would be willing to throw caution to the wind and take that food?
Well, here's the thing. I know now after I did the research, I know that if I take their food in our world, I'll be okay. So all right, well, I would take it.
The actual question is what food would you be willing to risk your life for? So pretend you're in a different dimension. So you're starting to question whether or not the person's a fairy and whether or not you're in our dimension. What food would make you throw caution to the wind?
This is going to sound super weird. Okay. If they offered me something rare that I never had before, like puffer fish from Japan, I always wanted to try that. I'd be like, what? Okay, maybe I'll give it a shot. Or like maybe like a venison pigeon pie or something. Like I've never had either of those things. So maybe something like that.
Okay. Well, I think that's, you just gave every fairy awareness of that, but that wasn't the intention. The intention was...
Feels
was
like you're working curious. For the fairies.
They're paying me under the table.
Yeah, right?
This table right now, actually, they can fit many of them under.
They're paying you to fairy bucks.
So I can get the omelet, right? From Fairy World, from Neopets. That's something we talked about yesterday.
It is, yeah.
Now, this wasn't something you said on the podcast, but it was something you said recently in our Google Hangout. What if that apple was like a fairy apple, and that's why it's sticking in your mind so much? We should probably give context. You tell the story better than I do.
I guess so. Okay. So I was with Tyler in our dorm room, or apartment, actually, and he had an apple in his hand. He looked at me and goes, you know, I don't think I'll remember this apple. Do you think I'll remember this apple in like 10 years? Because I don't think I will. He's like, statistically, we won't remember this apple, but I wonder if I will. And from then... that apple has been burned into my brain, and I'll never forget that particular apple.
I think you only have to hold that torch for another year. I'm pretty sure that was 2013, so I think next year would be 10 years. And then you can literally relieve it. You can release that memory from your brain.
No, that's been massaged into my cerebrum.
I apologize for taking this discussion off course.
I don't think that was a fairy apple. I think that was a very, what's that stoner movie? Cheech and Chong moment that you had. I'm not saying that you were on marijuana.
It probably wasn't even a good apple. It was probably a Red Delicious.
You said that like yesterday too.
Let's feel it.
Let's move on. Do you remember the story where there was a woman who was walking on a path and she became aware of fairies in that moment?
Break it down for me.
She's walking, it's in Florida, and then she sees a little thing in a bush. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I guess the question is, why do you think in that moment that happened to her? Why was she able to see fairies in that moment?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a state of mind you have to be in. Maybe
I guess so. Like some people say walking is a trance, right?
Yeah, well, it's like when you walk, and maybe it's a trail she travels often. Like I have a certain dog walking path where... I can be listening to a podcast or doing whatever, and before I know it, I'm like 3/4 the way through it. It's like, or driving to work, you know, when you drive to work and all of a sudden you're there and you don't remember it. So maybe you get like off in a trance, or maybe it was somewhere she's never explored before. It also feels kind of like kind of sounds like a right time, right place thing. Like,
I guess you could say that too, but I wonder if there's...
Was there something that caused her to look in the bush?
She heard a rustling.
Okay.
She heard it.
That's on the fairy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether or not that would be intentional on the fairy's part or whether it just happened to be moving around.
It felt like it just kind of got caught there, you know? I would say, I think you're right. I think you're onto something. It was in like a transitive kind of state because she was walking this path that she knew. So she was kind of just like focused on like herself, breathing, and then energy, and then it's there.
But she was alone, right?
She was alone.
Yeah, forget that one. What about the one where it flies out, right? Like, was it like a group of people on a patio or something?
Yeah, that's from 2000, like 4 or 5. And
yeah, that one's cool because there's multiple witnesses.
Yeah, they're all behind a house.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about that story is it reminds me of my mother's old house. I don't know if you've ever been to that old house. I think you did a couple times.
That's actually where I'm recording this right now.
Oh, okay. But it reminds me of that house, the back patio in that house, where it's just like connected to the woods.
Mm.
And you sit on the back patio and you see the woods. So that's how I totally pictured it. And it's like four or five people and they see this thing just splay out in the light and it's a small person.
Backyards are underrated. I could spend 90% of my day when it's warm out on my deck in my backyard. But I like this one is very vivid to me. This one I can picture. I loved the description and the wings and how it kind of jumped up. I liked that there were multiple witnesses. Obviously, it could be one person faking the story and making up people. But assuming that a group of people actually saw it, and it feels so like innocent and so much like the fairy knows you're seeing it and just absolutely does not care.
Yeah. But here's the thing about fairies is you don't want them by your house because I wasn't sure if I made that clear during the episode. They're not entities you want to mess around with. I don't think they are.
Yeah. It seems like high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
Or even high risk, low reward.
I think that's even more inaccurate.
Not like crypto. Yeah. I don't know. I'm wrestling with the idea. I don't like my inconsistency in terms of things that I buy into and things that I don't. And I think it just comes down to things that I could imagine experiencing and then things I can't. And just because I've never experienced anything with fairies doesn't mean that they're not real. But I feel like it's almost like if I did an episode on elephants with big ears that can fly, you probably wouldn't take it seriously because Dumbo and cartoons and how they've been presented to us in media, right?
Sure, yeah.
Where you have horror movies that are very realistic. Some are not realistic, obviously. But there's like grittiness to some. And maybe I just haven't seen a fairy movie that hit me at a certain age or even ever. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like ghosts feel more attainable in that way. And kind of shoved down your throat as something that could truly be real. Where I feel like there's even a large portion of like the paranormal community that would just shrug off fairies. Like it doesn't seem like something that would just naturally be widely accepted. I'm not saying that that's fair and I'm not saying that that's right. I feel like the way that we grow up and what kind of we see with when it comes to fairies and cartoons and Tinkerbell and things like that, Fairly Odd Parents, it seems like we're not supposed to take it seriously. Now, if you want to go like conspiracies, then maybe it's like fairies are ruling the country and they're making us, they're making mockeries of fairies so that we don't take them seriously so they can kind of sneak behind the scenes. I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true either.
But okay, forget that last part, but everything I said before, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that makes a lot of sense because we are almost trained to think that these things are silly little creatures, but there's a lot to fairies beyond just the little winged things that we see.
I think another big part of this is it's not my culture. This is, and not that that should matter, but this isn't, I feel like at a young age, I was told these stories, like these stories, not Tinkerbell. Like if I was told these stories, I think it would be different. Like one day I know we're going to probably do stuff like gnomes and things like that. And I know there's people that take that very seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because of the way I was brought up and the things that I've consumed, both art and I guess news stories, like nothing has come across my path to make me think this stuff is real or to question it. It's always been like a joke.
And that makes total sense too. But what you said, I think yesterday you said you watched a movie based off fairy myths.
I don't think they specifically called it a fairy.
Right.
I think it had, it obviously took elements from that, from the fairy myth.
There's a lot of elements of fairy myths that we use that we recognize as horror movies.
Absolutely. Because I mean, people take and they twist and they take and they twist and they take and they twist. And it gets to a point where you don't even remember the origin anymore, or you never did know the origin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess with all that said, with our biases all on the table, where do we find the fairies? And I'll go first because it's my episode. I find fairies, I don't find them fully believable, but I find them viable just because, I mean, I've had my own experiences where I've like I mentioned about the AirPod. That was true. That was facts. Like, I lost it for like 2 months. I checked everywhere in the house, and then all of a sudden they appeared.
Did they pair too?
They did pair too. And so I don't know if that was a fairy or just me misplacing something, but I definitely talked to a fairy. I talked out loud and said, I'd like this back, please. I don't know if it worked. I don't know.
So did you strike a deal then?
No, I didn't strike a deal. I just asked.
Without knowing that you stroked? struck deal?
I don't think I struck a deal.
All right, we'll see. Find some food waiting for you. That puffer fish.
But I find them viable. And the story is there's so many cultures with fairies. Kind of like we talked about with ghosts before. Most cultures have ghost stories. And this is a story that's present through a lot of cultures, or mermaids as well.
I'm going to leave the door open upon more evidence. And that's obviously not a knock on these stories or this research or anything. It's just, you know, if I experience something or something crosses my path that makes me think otherwise, for any of our episodes, I'm always willing to change my mind. But for now, I'm gonna stick to my guns and I'm going to go unbelievable.
So thank you for listening to this week's episode of Bling Bazaar, where we talk about fairies.
And Annabelle creation.
A little bit, yeah. But, man, this episode, it was neat. A lot of cool research.
Yeah, and this is definitely something you're more passionate about, which is cool. And I know you've wanted to do this topic for a while, so I'm excited that everybody on Patreon voted it in.
But here's the thing. I want to do another kind of fairy, too. I want to do the Irish fae. Because that's not what we talked about here. We just talked about the winged kind.
I've read books that have fae in it, but it's not like the fairies we covered today.
Yeah, exactly. That's a different kind of fairy. I'm thinking another kind of episode I want to do is like banshees and leprechauns and kelpies or even fairies too. So that kind of fae.
You know what I was just thinking? Normally, like height, like we were joking, like, you know, we're part of that community because we're short. Normally, things with height don't. I don't ever feel bad anymore like that. Like, that's like middle school stuff. But it also often doesn't seem prevalent or relevant anymore. Does that make sense? Like, you don't normally, like, go through your day and, like, acknowledge that you're short, right? You just live your life, right?
Well, yeah.
Oh, I don't. Mostly. I guess. I don't know how you do it. But it's funny because it ties into our Patreon. But the last time that it massively hit me was, and I guess you probably deal with it more because you're a teacher, but we were doing a listener submission interview with our listener Brianna on our Patreon, and she's way younger than us. And when we said how short we were, and she was like, "Wow, I'm taller than you guys." It was just kind of this moment of like, "Hmm." Although, I mean, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are taller than us.
Probably.
That was just one moment that stuck out. And I thought of it when we were talking about during the episode, but I didn't want it to lose that train of thought. So I was like, I'll save that for the outro, I think, as we call this.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. But anyway, if you're enjoying the show and you want to show that you're enjoying the show, please go to Apple and leave a review and a 5-star.
Or if you're listening on Spotify, feel free to just hit the 5-star and you don't even have to worry about a review because they don't let you write one.
That's right. But you've already left a review and you left a 5-star, whatever you do. What else can you do, Tyler?
You know what you can do, and this probably isn't what you're thinking I'm going to say? You can always hit us up in our DMs on Instagram. I'm not going to lie. When I am off my phone for a while, and then I pull it up, because I have to, because I'm a millennial, and I check our Instagram, and I see that we have like 6 messages, that actually, I get excited, because there's always different variations. It's like either people, I love when people propose theories that we didn't talk about in an episode. Like, hey, I listened to this episode, and it could be like from 5 months ago, and it's like, I have to think back because we're like so far past that now. And it's like, what do you think about this? And 9 times out of 10, they're awesome theories. They're awesome ideas. Some people are like, you should do this episode. Like, literally, people have suggested episodes. I'm like, wow, I was going to do this one episode, but I'm going to push this one up. And all of them go on our topic list. So we don't abort any of the topics y'all suggest. But I really like the DMs. So I appreciate people that hit us up. And just to confirm it again, reaffirm, it is Charlie and I that are responding.
yeah it is.
What were you expecting me to say, just out of curiosity?
Oh, shirts. I was going for shirts. I was swinging for shirts.
I'm not even worried about shirts right now, because we have some awesome merch designs coming in the next, let's just say, while.
In a while, but yeah.
Let's see, wait, last week the oven was preset. I think the oven is still heating up, but
yeah, we're mixing the batter.
The entree is actually made, I think. We just haven't cooked it yet.
I guess, like we put together the casserole.
Yeah, like the ingredients are put together. It's just not ready to be served yet.
Yes, I agree. And I've seen them. I've seen the final product. Looks awesome.
Indeed. But with that said, Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
Catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre,
a podcast as bizarre as you are.